welcome to our final session of Family Matters. Have you enjoyed this? Have you enjoyed this time? Yes, hey, let's give it up to the Lord just for what he's done. I know I've enjoyed it. My wife's enjoyed it. It's been such a rewarding time for us and as well. And so I want to say a special thank you to all of our staff for all of their work. Why don't we give it up for our staff for all the work with the food and the setup? I want to say a special thank you to our staff. And tonight, listen, we're going to talk about family dynamics. We're talking about parenting and finances are the two things we're going to focus on tonight. Is parenting a point of contention in your home? Come on, somebody. Okay, two of you. Rest of you are lying. Now, by the way, how many of you have grown kids? Go ahead and raise it up. Oh, a bunch of folks in here with grown kids. Hey, by the way, thank you for being here. How many of you have littles running around? Like us, which we got teenagers, but littles too. Okay. All right. Listen up. This is what I need you to do. If you're sitting at a table with all people that's got grown kids and you have grown kids, shame, shame, shame on you. I need you to move. I need us to get up. Seriously. I want us all, let's all stand together. Let's all stand. Come on. Trust me in this. I need us to mix up a little bit. So let's take a couple of minutes. I need some folks with grown kids to sit with some folks that's got little kids. So talk. That means you got to talk around. Let's take a couple of minutes. And then I need you to shift. Because you folks with grown kids, we need your wisdom tonight. We need your help. Okay? So do that for us. Thank you. Just a couple of minutes. Okay. Hey, thank you for your flexibility in that. I know none of us like to be treated like school kids. I get it because we're all adults in the room. But this is intentional, seriously, because those of us that are walking through life right now with littles, like we need you Christian folks who've been doing this a long time and got grown kids and now grandkids. We need your wisdom. Come on, isn't that right, parents that are in the battle right now? We need your wisdom. So, man, super point of gratitude for all of you who are here tonight who have grown kids. Thank you for coming and investing in this. And so as we talk about parenting, lean in. But also, those of you that's got grown kids, you're also further along in your finances, in life. You've learned a lot of lessons, right? So you can help us a ton, those of us that are in that battle also, in the midst of that. You can help us a ton around the tables tonight. So let me go ahead and tee this up. Crystal and I are not experts, are we? Look, we were sitting at the table. We were about to have come to Jesus meeting right there at the table, right tonight at the supper table. I mean, with the kids, you know, so just little issues, little things. And that's, you know, we are in that battle every single day. So what you're not going to hear from me or from us tonight is expertise. We're going to point you to Jesus, but also tonight I've intentionally added multiple video clips. They're short, but multiple video clips so that we all learn together tonight. You with me? You listening? Some really good stuff. We're going to hear from Paul David Tripp. Y'all heard that name? Great author, pastor. It's got some really good stuff. By the way, all this is on Right Now Media, these clips I'm going to show you tonight. So you can pull this and go. Like Paul David Tripp's study on parenting, I think it's 15, 16 sessions long. You can do the whole thing at home, just you and your spouse in the bed after the kids go to bed. You hop into bed, get the computer out. Y'all can walk through it together, you know, or turn it on the TV through the Right Now Media app. But no expertise tonight. I'm just going to point us to Jesus. We're going to learn some stuff together, and we're going to be open and honest about some of our stuff. Also, reminder, we've had a few questions come in, but just a reminder, we're going to open up at the end tonight, and Crystal and I are going to address questions. I need you to text those. Tevin, can you pull that back up for me? Oh, that's great job. Awesome. I love Tevin. Give it up for Tevin, man. Tevin's awesome. Give it up for Tevin. Runs tech and stuff for us at Tylertown and Sterling tonight. Thank you for running sound. Everybody give it up for Sterling as well, man. Appreciate Sterling's help. Here's your number. Text questions to that number, okay? Even while I'm teaching, question comes to mind, boom. Go ahead and take your phone out and text it real quick. It's fine. When we get to discussion time, especially right before we do the interviews, or that interview time or that open question time, go ahead and send those questions in. And Crystal and I are going to look through those on the iPad over here. We probably won't be able to answer them all tonight, but we're going to do our best to address as many as possible, okay? Fair enough? Do what? It is anonymous, by the way, right? When it comes in, and you don't give us your name unless you just want to have like confession time, like right now, you know. So, faith-based parenting. Let's talk about this together. Booklets are on your table. Get the booklet out. Walk through this with us. And I'm going to share with you just a few things that we have learned. Our kids are in the battle. They've got to choose to follow Jesus. There's no formula to perfect kids. Come on. No formula to perfect kids. There's no formula to perfect parenting. Anyone who tells you they've got it all figured out, it's folks in the room whose kids are grown. They're gone now. And now you got it figured out. Thank you. And y'all can help us. But all kidding aside, there are some things that right now God's teaching us in the midst of it that we do want to share with you tonight. And it all begins with faith. Doesn't that sound like such a cliche in the church? I mean, it all begins with faith. But so often it's like we forget the gospel in our parenting, don't we? We forget Jesus. We forget what His Word says. And we operate out of our emotions. We operate out of our fear or our anger or our worry, anxiety. We operate out of all that stuff instead of operating out of faith, you know, based in God's Word. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, right, says there, without what? Come on, church. Faith. It is, what's the next word? Impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. Now, what is faith? He says right before this in Hebrews 11, it's the assurance of the things we hope for. It's that, man, God's word is true, and not just my life, my eternity is staked on this. So it's assurance, and it's conviction, the conviction of the things unseen. So as I see and read these promises of God, and in that personal relationship with Jesus, as the Holy Spirit of God speaks to me, and we learn to hear His voice, man, I'm trusting. So now I got to wait on the Lord. I got to trust in the Lord. I've just got to say, okay, God, it's all you. You got to do this thing. And so it starts with faith. Matthew 21, what did Jesus say? If you have faith and you don't doubt, you'll not only do what has been done right to this fig tree, that example He's using for the disciples, but you will say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and it'll happen. You'll say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move, and it will move. And whatever you ask in prayer, direct conversation with God, submission to His will, but also bringing my stuff, you will receive if you have faith. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. And so faith the size of a mustard seed. What's the point He's making there? We don't place our faith in faith. It's not like how much faith can I drum up. There's a principle there. Mustard seed, you listening, is all we got. That's the idea. That's all I got. And you're talking about the smallest or one of the absolute smallest seeds in Jewish agriculture that they would plant, and all of a sudden it would become this big tree, right? Mustard tree. And so it's a picture of just the what little bit you got. Man, like Sunday, right, with Church of Philadelphia, you got a little bit of power. Just put that in. I'll do the rest. Just trust me. Well, what little bit you got, just give it to me. Just step out and say, God, I got no strength here. I'm just going to trust You. And that's faith. And God will begin to work in it. And so the gospel is all about grace. It's all about grace. It's about we're incredible sinners, but we have an awesome Savior. And He went to the cross for us and shed His blood for our forgiveness, rose from the dead so that we could experience life. And that's what has to inform and inspire and lead our parenting, doesn't it? Our marriages and tonight our parenting, our families. And so with that said, let's watch a quick clip. This is Paul David Tripp talking about grace in the context of our parenting and family relationships. Let's watch this together.
God never calls you to your task as a parent without giving you what is necessary to do it. God never sends you as a parent without going with you. Here's what's really important to understand, vital to understand as a parent, that God doesn't call people to be parents because they're able, but because He is. He doesn't call you because you're wise, but because He is. Doesn't call you because you're faithful, but because He is. Doesn't call you because you're strong, but because He is. You see, He meets you by His grace. How important is that? You're going to fail, but there's forgiveness for your failing. You're going to be weak, but there's strength for those moments of weakness. You're going to have times where you don't know what to do, but there's wisdom for those moments. Because as a parent, I love saying this, you're never left to your little package of resources, because your Savior has invaded your parenting with His grace. His grace is your hope that allows you to own your weaknesses. It allows you to confess your failures. It allows you to admit moments when you've been foolish and not panic, because God meets you in every moment of parenting by glorious, sufficient, tender, forgiving, transforming grace. As a parent myself, that gets me up in the morning.
What is it that gets us up in the morning? Well, it's the grace of God, isn't it? And that's what should inspire us and lead us every day, is the love of Jesus and the grace that we have in the gospel. And so we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. And so much of our parenting is informed and led by our insecurity, isn't it? Our insecurity. It's more about our pride sometimes, or especially out in public, right? Our appearance, or what it may make me look like or feel like before others based on what my child's doing, or, you know, my kid made this decision and now that, you know, I'm feeling insecure about that. When the truth is, we have all the resources we need in the gospel, and we all walk through the same things. And so we need to rest in the love of God and respond, right, instead of react. And that's what God's calling us to do, is rest in the gospel by faith. The gospel is Jesus is good enough. He's smart enough. He's big enough. He's awesome enough. He's good enough. And when I'm not enough, and I'm never enough, He's always enough. And so it's rooted in that. Does that make sense? Does that make sense tonight? That's where our relationships have got to be founded. So faith. First of all, we've got to have faith in God's promises. Faith in God's promises. When it comes to family relationships and specifically parenting, we must remember what God has said. What has He promised? Because circumstances will lie to you. This world will lie to you, right? There's so much out there that's untruth. And so we want to remember what God's Word says and have faith in His promises. So what has God said? James 1:5. And you can write these verses down and go back and read them on your own. Write down the references here. But James chapter 1, verse 5. If we lack wisdom, we can, do you know what it says there? Ask. Yeah, ask of God. And He will give generously and without reproach. And so we can trust. We can come to Him and know He has promised to give us wisdom. And all the myriads of times that we lack the wisdom we need. So He gives wisdom. So we have faith in His promises. He is a good provider, isn't He? God promises provision. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Context there is when we seek Him first, when we're giving to help others, when we're living open-handed. It's a pathway. It's like seed. We're planting it in the ground. It's going to harvest of righteousness is going to come back up, and God will meet those needs. And so as we trust in Him, He supplies every need. So God's a good provider. Is He going to provide for our kids? Come on now. Everything they need, and not just financial, but those in those relationships, in that school classroom, in those situations and circumstances with friends and others. I mean, God's going to provide there when we put Him first in our home and we speak of Him and we pray together and we're talking about Jesus and we're trusting in Him. So He promises provision. He promises protection. Do you realize that? That when we trust in Christ, He promises protection. Doesn't mean hardship doesn't come. Doesn't mean bad things don't happen to good people. But when you know Jesus, are you protected forever? Come on, church. Yeah. In the gospel, we have an inheritance which is undefiled. It's imperishable, will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us, the scripture says. And so we can trust in God's protection over our children and our families. Psalm 91, right? So go back to that this week. Read the entire psalm. I'm just going to give you a little snippet. The entire psalm is just this dissertation on God's protection over our life. And Psalm 91, verses 9 through 11. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Evil will not overtake you. Bad things happen to good people. They do because we live in a fallen world. But evil will not overtake you because it's already been defeated in Jesus. So no evil will be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That guardian angel thing's for real, isn't it? I don't know that there's necessarily one specifically assigned to every person or every child of God, but He says His angels, He will give them charge concerning us. And so, man, God promises protection. But also another promise, and this obviously is not exhaustive, lots of promises in God's Word. But think about provision, protection. Number three, presence. God promises His presence. Joshua chapter 1, the people of Israel are about to go in and conquer the promised land. The battle is before them. So think of it in a parenting context. The battle's coming. Here it is. I mean, day in, day out, doing life, the battle is in front of us. And Jesus tells him here, He says, listen, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. Do not fear and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What is it that stills and calms our fears? Fear is a real battle daily for lots of us. But what is it that calms our fears? It's when we renew our mind to the truth that God is with me. My identity here, in His love, He's with me. And He's with us. We can trust. And so be strong and courageous, man. And so just trust in His presence. Boy, God has some incredible promises in His Word, doesn't He? And so so let's stand on them. So we need to have faith in God's promises. Secondly, let's have faith in prayer as well. Faith in prayer. So many promises in God's Word that say whatever we ask in Jesus' name, believing we will receive. Multiple times. And Psalm 37, verse 4, Crystal's favorite verse. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Just delight in Him. Again, we're not talking about prosperity gospel tonight. God's a good provider, but what we're talking about is trusting in His ultimate protection, provision, and encouragement in our life. And so as we pray, this is important, as we pray over our children, does God work in their heart? Yes. Somehow a sovereign God has said faith matters in that. And I cannot explain to you how that's possible because He's sovereign. Scripture says that we're predestined unto salvation. He chose us before the foundation of the earth. Yet it also says whosoever will may come, and we must believe in Him in order to receive salvation. Somehow those are not mutually exclusive. That doesn't fit within my brain. But aren't you glad we got a God that's bigger than my brain and your brain? He's bigger than theology. Theology is very important that we understand the foundations of what we believe. But don't we serve a God that's even bigger than our logic? Theos logic? And so we try to encapsulate God within all these boundaries. And certainly we have the truth of God rooted in the Scripture. I'm not trying to take away any of our faith in God's Word tonight. We just talked about that. But it is important to remember that God is even bigger than that. So somehow as a sovereign God, in His sovereignty, in His omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, in His His transcendence. He has said, whatever you ask in my name, believing you'll receive. He has said that. And so we're just going to trust. So have faith in prayer. 1 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not our mouths. Come on, parents. It's not your mouth. Man, I have to be reminded of that. Right? Don't ask my wife. Right? Preachers are real good at using their mouth. And a little too much. So, it's not our mouth. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, they are spiritual. So it's first our heart in prayer and let God inform our speech. Let God direct our speech and give us the boundaries and the plan and in our home. So let's have faith in prayer. Let's watch another quick video. Paul David Tripp talking about how dependent we are again upon God. Let's watch this.
You know, as a parent, recognizing what you're unable to do is essential to good parenting. God hasn't called us to be parents because we have the power to change our children. Here's the thing that every parent needs to reconcile with in their heart. We have no ability whatsoever to change our children, none. Again, if we had that ability, the person and work of Jesus wouldn't have been necessary. You see, we don't have that ability. And if you tell yourself that you have the ability to change your children, if you don't surrender to the reality of your inability, you will end up doing things that you shouldn't do. You will try by the force of your personality, by the volume of your voice, by the strength of your vocabulary, by fear, by reward, or by shame, to create what you are not able to create. And as you do that, you will put tension and distance and discouragement in the context of your relationship with your children. I would encourage you to enter into the welcome of knowing that you do not have the power to change your children. You don't have to load that on your shoulders. That's God's job. He just asks you to be a tool in His capable hands.
That's such an important statement for us in a social media, internet-driven, image-driven, video-driven culture. Is you and I, we do not have the ability to control or to change our children, do we? And so much fear is in us that we want to control. Remember, we've talked about this recently, control every outcome. But instead, we should be focused on the what. Remember, we talked about this, the inputs. And we're having to learn that in our home because as they're younger, yes, you got clear boundaries. You get it. But as they go along, right, we got to lead, we got to teach, we got to converse. It's the inputs. Are we putting the gospel in? And that begins in prayer. The more we pray, the more dependent we become upon the Spirit of God, and the more the Spirit of God illumines this truth that these children, listen, are a gift to us. And they're on loan to us for a very short time. I don't know about you. I'm trying to raise some kids to get up out of my house. Come on, somebody. Anybody else on that? You know, I'm trying to raise some kids to get up out of my house. We cut up all the time. Now, Reagan can live with me until she's 100. I mean, you know, my daughter's in. But the boys, I mean, I'm already doing resume writing. Like, you know, 14-year-old down, you know. I mean, dude, let's get the resume, you know, ready to go. Because 18, you're out. Come on. Hey, I want my wife back. Who wants their wife back? Parents in the room, right? Guys, dads. I want my wife back. I want her back. And so, you know, and we're cutting up, obviously. But at the same time, they're gifts to us. Like you know, blessed is a man whose quiver is full. Our life verse. You know, okay, in our home. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full. They're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So, you mean the arrow? What's the warrior doing? He's sending the arrow out to defeat the enemy. Hello. And that's what these kids are. Not by manipulation. They're not a tool per se, but they are God's weapon in the world. That's why He told us to be fruitful and multiply. It's a part of that because our discipleship, hello, starts at home. And it's not the church's job to disciple my children. Hello. It's yours and it's mine. And so our job is to give you the gospel, to provide that foundation. Kids and student ministry to be tools for your kids to grow in, especially when we get to student time, serve in missions. We try to do more of that there. So it's right, they're tools you can use. But ultimately, discipleship is meant to happen from home, isn't it? And so we can't change or control our children with our words or our manipulative things. But we try to, don't we? We really do. And so it's important to remember, man, God has a purpose for them. God has a plan. These are God's children, and they are a blessing to me and to us. They're a blessing to us. So like arrows in the hand of the warrior, I'm launching them out. They're going to get launched out. So how am I sharpening the tip of the arrow, right? So that it's their lives are effective in defeating the enemy, the devil stuff up in this world. So inputs, don't try to control the outcomes. What? Focus on the, come on church, the inputs. Oh, that's a great reminder for us, which leads to the last point on parenting. Then we're going to watch a quick video, move to finances. But we've got to have faith in God's providence. His promises, his word has a ton of them. Also in prayer, okay, God, I got to come to you in prayer. I cannot control my children. I have no ability whatsoever to determine the outcome of their life. I put inputs in and you're going to work in this and I'm going to trust in you. Okay. But then number three, we got to have faith in God's providence. Again, his sovereignty, his purpose. God, does God have a much better purpose and plan for our kids' lives than we do? Yeah. It's a good reminder. And so much, we want so much certain things for our children, and it's good to teach them lessons about leadership and work ethic and help them understand their giftedness. Say, look what you're gifted with in these, you know, in different things in life and how God might want to use that. Now, that's all just good parenting, right? But trying to control, you know, exactly everything about their life is wrong. So faith in God's providence, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's plan. Jeremiah 29:11. Again, you can go back and read that entire chapter, really, on your own time. As Israel's walking into judgment, and he's like, wait, don't condemnation and judgment's not the end. This is discipline, and I've got a future and a hope for you. Proverbs 20:7. Listen to these. These are promises. This kind of goes back to the promises too, but it speaks to God's providence. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Do you believe that tonight? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his children after him. So integrity is not sinless perfection. It's a willingness to admit my faults. It's humility. Integrity is humility. It's saying, hey, I messed up right there. By the way, it would do your parenting and all of our parenting a whole lot of good if you'd go apologize to your kids about some stuff. We have to do that from time to time. Say, hey, I shouldn't have said that there. Shouldn't have acted this way. Shouldn't have responded that, you know, in anger right there. I mean, we have to do that. But and that shows that's grace in the home, right? That's grace. I need the grace. Just like they need the grace. So, but a righteous man who walks in his integrity. So I'm going to stand on some verses too, guys. I'm just going to stand on them. Just say, God, you're going to work. I'm trusting you, but I'm going to believe your word. Psalm 37:25-26. I once was young, now I'm old. One thing I've never seen. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his children begging for bread. He's gracious and he lends, and his children become a blessing. Who wants some of that? Come on, church. His children become a blessing. So I'm going to speak these blessings. Every day I'm taking, you know, which Reagan's about to start driving. Pray for us. Okay. On that. Okay. But by the way, it's bittersweet, you know, bitter like, oh my gosh, but then like sweet because, hey, third driver and we have a million children. So, I mean, it's great to have the third driver. But Reagan, Dawson, Harrison, Anderson took all four of them to school this past year so mama could focus on Kaysen. Right? On little guy, you know, in the mornings. And so as I'm taking them to school and both of us, you know, we're praying over them, but praying the Aaronic blessing over there. Numbers 6, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his peace. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. You're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I love you and I'm proud of you. Every day before they get out of the car. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, there are other times at home where I say, why are you acting like a dummy right now? And then I have to say, oh, okay, sorry. I need to, right? Okay, I guess none of y'all ever do that. Y'all never do that? Okay. Well, thank you. A few of you are like, okay, me, right here. So, you know, there's times where then I, you know, say things I shouldn't say. And so I have to go back and say, huh. But the point being, I want to speak life. I want to speak life. I want to speak life. Providence. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. It says his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright is blessed. And that's just a few. So I'm going to stand on these verses and say, okay, God, you've got an incredible plan for their life. You have blessed us with these children. So help us walk in integrity. We know that you're going to work. We're going to put the right things in them and leave the outcome to you. And we're just going to trust. And so as we finish up parenting stuff, I want us to watch a quick video. This one's a little bit longer, about 6 minutes. Max Lucado, right? Love stuff from Max Lucado. But really good video. He's got 5 essential principles, and he's going to talk about discipline. This is just a little snippet, and I promise this all goes together when we talk about the grace of God. Discipline's a huge deal, especially for young couples in today's world. Not very many want to discipline. What does that mean? And I'm just being for real, like what we see. Not a whole lot of folks want to lean into discipline. Well, what does that mean? I thought this is a great explanation of that grace in boundaries as well. As we finish this idea of parenting, let's watch this together. Let's watch it.
Some years ago, we ended up with a leaning tree in our front yard. I don't remember how it got there. Maybe it's one of the trees that I planted, or maybe it's just a tree we inherited. But as it was growing, it had a pretty serious lean to it. It just kind of a good root system. It had every appearance of being a healthy tree, but it just had a lean to it. We had to call a friend who understands how to fix trees. And well, you can imagine what he did. You probably had to do it yourself. He tied a rope around the base of the tree and pulled it, anchored the rope to the ground so that when the tree grew, or as the tree grew, it would be slowly straightened up. That's what we parents call discipline. Sometimes our children need that same correctional pull, that same correctional tug, and it really is the role of the parent to discipline the child. The Bible says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. We need to be clear and point out that the Bible never endorses physical abuse. The Bible never endorses the affliction of pain. That's not what discipline is. Discipline is that process of straightening a child so that he or she will grow in a way that is straight and eventually bear much fruit and give wonderful shade to the generation that comes. Now, in this whole idea of giving discipline, my wife, Deanlin, and I have found some principles, and maybe these will be helpful for you. Principle number one is we always think it's important to be careful. Be quick to interrupt misbehavior, but be slow to punish it. Give everybody time to cool down. Time out is a practical tool. Place the child in time out and take a little time out yourself just to make sure that you're responding appropriately. If you're enjoying the administration of the discipline, you need to stop. You need to stop. So be careful. And secondly, be consistent. Make sure that the punishment fits the act. Make sure that you understand the cause of the disobedience so you'll know the level of punishment or discipline that the act deserves. You see, it's one thing to slam a door out of disrespect. It's something else to slam a door because the ice cream truck is out in the road. You know, it's one thing to spill milk because you're not paying attention. It's something else to spill milk out of anger or rebellion. Oversights are misdemeanors. Rebellion is a felony. So be sure and separate the two and do your best to be consistent. And then thirdly, be clear. explain. Do not assume that the child understands why they are being punished. And never punish a child just for being bad. The child is not bad. The child might have made a bad decision or done something that is bad, but the child is not bad. So make sure that the child understands. Make sure after the discipline that you sit down with the child and explain the reason for the discipline. It's equally important that we be compassionate. You know, one mistake does not a child make. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. But you know, love does keep a list of things done well. So be sure that you're always loving your children in a compassionate way. And then here's one final thought. Be close. Stay close to your children. This isn't always easy. I remember as my children were growing, so was my ministry. And when my daughters were young, I began receiving many invitations to go and speak at churches or events or supermarket dedications. Well, not really, but I began receiving more and more invitations, and it really was hard to say no. And I discovered what we could call Max's yes law of inverse dynamics. With every yes in the schedule, there was an equal and opposite no in the family. Every time I said yes to a speaking engagement, that was a no to a family dinner. Every time I said yes to a new project, that was a no to a volleyball game. Every time I said yes to a trip, that was a no to a series of evenings at home with the girls. And it was sometimes tough decisions, but I learned that the more I said no to outside opportunities, the more I could say yes to my family. And this is important because children, they speak the language of presence. How do we show love? How do we show our love to our children? Well, we show up. We show up at the games. We show up at the plays. We show up at the recitals. It's a wonderful thing when our children look up in the stands or look out in the audience or look at the front door and they see us there. That matters to them. And because we are present, then we will earn the right to bring discipline into their lives. Don't underestimate the importance of just being present. And don't underestimate the importance of making sure that you have that correctional pull in the life of your child.
Is that helpful? Some helpful thoughts there, those five principles for us. Just, being close is one of the things that we're really learning, is just being in it, right? Without meddling in it, right? But being in it, just being in the stuff. And being there to listen, but also to lead and to put the right stuff in. Put the right stuff in. So, super helpful. Okay? Let's dive into finances, right? How many of you like money? Come on. Okay, right? Rest of you are like, it's church. I can't admit that. Okay. Yeah, we like to have money in our life. We like to pay the bills. We like to put money back for our kids, right? We like to pay for college educations or, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, we like to have a retirement account. I mean, we like all this stuff. The question is, what does God's Word tell us about finances? Now, I'm just going to be real with you. What I'm giving you tonight is very short and is fifth grade level simple. But how many of you find that it's the fifth grade level simple stuff that we mess up all the time? How many of you find that? Yep, it is, isn't it? Because we let our emotions and impulse get in on this stuff, okay? Everybody tracking on the budget sheet on your table. Did you see that little resource I got for you tonight? Pastor Irvin, will you hand me one of those? Let's see, right here. There's one. Mama's got one. That's two pages. She's got it on one sheet there. Thank you, sir. I should have brought it up with me. So, budget sheet. And so, we'll talk about this in just a second. So, finances. Here's some basics from God's Word. Okay, some basic things for us. First of all, number one, make a budget. That's where it starts, okay? We've got our budget on my computer, and that's our foundation. Doesn't always happen that way every month. Stuff comes up. When you're raising a bunch of kids, it happens. But if you don't, right, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit nothing. You ever heard that before? If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time, right? You'll hit nothing. So this is just a great principle for us. If more's going out than what's coming in, you're not going to make it. You say, that's fifth grade level simple. I know, but how many months do we let a whole lot more go out than what comes in? Now, how many Dave Ramsey folks I got in the room? Come on now. Dave Ramsey, great principles. Lots of great principles, especially concerning debt and investments. And that's where I borrow this stuff. If you notice on the back, that's a great breakdown to give you a general idea. You always wonder, well, how much should my house payment be versus my total expenses if it's going to be healthy? 25% is what he says here. So around that number, healthy. You see the other percentage points. That backside is super helpful for us when we talk about how to put a budget together. Now, I will say, be careful because being overly focused on money can turn into a big point of contention in your home, can't it? And if you're not careful, some of my Dave Ramseyite friends have turned into some of the most materialistic people, focused people that I've ever met. Now, that's kind of, what do you mean by that? Everything's about money. Everything's about, well, you shouldn't have debt, you shouldn't have this, shouldn't have that. And they're very strict in their home, very legalistic about that. And it can become a real point of contention. Great principles from Dave Ramsey to learn. Don't hear me like knocking it necessarily tonight. Just should our total focus be legalism in our money? That can become a real point of contention in your home. So the two of you got to walk through this together, work through this together, and talk about your budget. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, great verse. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. So you can run on out. No, okay, every month we're going to spend this much on groceries, this much on gas. Bless the Lord, the gas bill went up. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Gas bill went up, and I'm about to pick up two more drivers within the next, 16 months. So they're going to have to figure out some gas money. Come on, parents. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you a little bit, but you're going to have to figure this out. So make a budget. Start there. If you don't have a budget articulated as a couple, sit down tonight or over this weekend. Do it. Got to do it. Put it down. And single folks in the room, this is a great principle, right? Make a budget. Make yourself a budget. Sit down. What's coming in? What goes out? And then you got to live by your means, by what's coming in. Okay? Secondly, tithe first. Okay, pastor's going to talk about tithing now. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about tithing up in here. Yeah, we're going to talk about tithing. We are. Okay, by the way, Jesus talked more about giving than he did heaven and hell combined, at least what we have encapsulated in the Gospels. Did you realize that? He talked about money more than he did heaven and hell combined. It's a huge deal. Why? Because as he said, where your treasure is, there your heart's going to follow it. We actually, this is a good, great principle. We lead our heart with how we use, and that's what we do, use the resources God's given us, how we invest it. Everything in our life is an investment. So is it depreciating or appreciating? I mean, well, the goal is that everything in life would be appreciating. What do we mean by that? Everything that goes to God's kingdom appreciates. And if I told you today that you could put your money into an investment that would give you 100 times return, how many of you would do that? 100 times. Did you realize Jesus said whatever we give for him, we sacrifice for his kingdom in this life, we get back 100 times? Hello. It's in the Bible. And so this is a principle. Don't hear something punitive tonight. Please don't hear that. And don't hear a money grab from the church. If you're going to another church, tithe there. You know, if you're coming on Wednesday night for this series, but you go somewhere, but tithe at your church. Tithing's a principle. Malachi 3. Verses 10 through 12, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Tithe means a tenth. So the first 10% that on your budget right here, right? Dave Ramsey's got it at the top. Amen, Dave Ramsey. Tithes and offerings. It starts there. So 10% should go to your local church you're a part of. Because without the local church, yes, the gospel would continue, but boy, there's so much that we do together, the mobilization of the movement of the gospel in this city. And it's so much foundation for our families and our homes. It launches from here. The totality of our Christian experience is not the gathering necessarily of this body, but it launches from here, doesn't it? Think about how different your walk with God would be without the body. And so it's important. It's very important. And in today's day and time, in the last days before Jesus comes again, we should be investing even more into God's church and His kingdom movement than we ever have. Because this world needs to see Christians fired up right now. In a crazy government, in an unstable economy, all that stuff. The world needs to see Christians who by faith are saying God's kingdom movement is more important than anything in our life. And so, tithing. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse so there may be food in my house. So you are meeting some needs there, right? We can't have what we have without the giving. Thereby put me to the test. If I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. Who wants an overflowing blessing tonight? God promises to do that. He will do it in your finances. We can attest to that. We started tithing when we had nothing. And we just said we're going to do it. And God honored that. Okay? And so He will open up those blessings. So provision, but also righteousness and peace and grace. There's so many spiritual blessings that come with that sacrifice. So tithing. So let me encourage you to tithe. Man, tithe first. And then as you grow in blessing financially, give over and above that. Our all-in campaign, man, we're building Habitat houses and blessing our school system and doing mobile pantries, Manna Cafe, and giving out, you know, thousands of groceries to hundreds of families every year. And we're multiplying campuses because we want to continue to grow this ministry to reach more people for Christ. So we have our all-in campaign going on, but then you've got missions ministries. You've got neighbors, coworkers, family members, and friends that God brings into your life that have financial need. And that may be an opportunity where God's saying, listen, this is an opportunity for right here for you to get a blessing, for you to give and live open-handed. And so we want to be faithful in that. So tithe first. Next, save second. Save second. I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it John D. Rockefeller back in the day who said, give 10, save 10, and live on 80. Does that sound right? I think it may have been Rockefeller back in the day who made that statement. And, you know, that's kind of a good principle. Like, you know, give 10, save 10, live on 80, and then as your finances grow, you're able to give even more to help others. But that saving piece is so important. And so we want to save. We want to plan for retirement. We want to plan for kids' education. These different things in life. We want to put that money aside, and toys, vacations, all these things. We want to do our best, right? As we have means to pay for that stuff outright, right? We don't want to take loans on boats and four wheelers and razors. I want one of them razors. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all seen them things? Oh, don't look at me like that, like you don't like stuff. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Man, them things look fun, you know. But they're like 20 grand to get a brand new one. No, you know, I mean, no thank you. So all kidding aside, toys, stuff like that, golf clubs, guns, you know, sporting equipment, stuff. Save it up over time. We want today what our parents worked 20, 30, and 40 years to get. We want it right now. And in today's lending market, which is starting to change, but at least what it has been up till now, you can, you know, if you have a generally good credit score, you can just go get loans for all this stuff. Bad move. That's where I'm leaning in with my Dave Ramsey buddy there, just saying, look, bad move. Don't do it. Right? So save second. How are you intentionally planning for seasons of life to come? Scripture says that a godly man leaves an inheritance for his children's children in the book of Proverbs. So it's a principle in God's word, okay? And then lastly, be content. That's the key, isn't it? That's the key to living in financial freedom is being free and detached from the stuff of this world. I don't have to have all this stuff to be happy. There's nothing wrong with having some things. The problem comes in when your things have you. Just be content. We say that a lot here. Nothing wrong with having things, guys. There's nothing wrong with enjoying. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. This fall, Pastor Irvin, Pastor Blake, and myself, we're doing a series called Vanity through the book of Ecclesiastes. Looking forward to that. That's fall break, Pastor Irvin, wasn't it? Something like that, or after fall break, I think. But we're looking forward to doing that series. And in that series, you know, Solomon there, after making a whole lot of mistakes, but also still a whole lot of wisdom there. And he just said, hey, man, enjoy the fruit of your labor. I mean, God's giving you this stuff. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruit of your labor. But in that, be content. Let's not long for today, what our, you know, right now, what our parents worked 20, 30, 40 years to get. Just be content. Save, plan, and put God first. And he'll do all that in your life. So be content. 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a great game. We brought nothing into the world. We can't take anything out either. Came in naked, gonna leave naked. It's for real. No U-Hauls behind the hearse. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't happen. Can't take it with you. But if we have food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, okay, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils, isn't it? Money is not the root of all evil. The love of it is. The love of it is. And whenever we heard of a family, you know, growing up that said, you know, man, we got to pay our house off by this time. We got to pay our house off in 10 years. Ended up with two sons in jail. Why? Because they gave every waking moment to make another dollar. So they could pay their house off early. Maybe we can get out of debt. We can have all this money. And all of a sudden ended up with two grown children in jail for drugs and selling drugs and all kinds of mess. And so, you know, we got to have this. We got to have that vacation home. We got to have this retirement account. I got to get this thing, that thing. And all of a sudden that drives our life. You turn into a workaholic. You don't have time for your family. Right? So we got to find balance. Let me give you a book, okay? Choosing to Cheat by Andy Stanley. Write that down. Especially folks that you got kids and you're kind of in the middle of life. You know, you got kids still at home and you're working and it's crazy. And a great book called Choosing to Cheat. It was so helpful to me. In the book Choosing to Cheat, basically the premise of the book. And a lot of content there, so I'm not giving it all away for you. But the premise is, you're going to cheat something, either your work or your family. Cheat your work. Seriously. But the point he's making is, hey, you can be productive, but you got to prioritize in your work. So focus on the stuff that matters. And remember, your family matters first. Family first. So he talks about, in the book, the give and take that he's had. Of course, North Point, man, you're talking about thousands of people that go to that church now. Just incredible ministry. If there's anybody in the country that could be busy 24/7, it'd be Andy Stanley. But he made a point there about, especially when his kids were at home, that season of life. He said, man, I chose to cheat. So here's what I did for my schedule to make myself available at these certain times for my family. And then times in our rhythm where, you know, they had some things going. If I took a meeting or things, it was within that rhythm. That rhythm, my family rhythm, is what directed everything. I thought that's a great principle in that book. So be content. All right, let's discuss together. We're going to take about 10 minutes and then Crystal and I are going to come on up. Okay? Just a reminder, text in your questions, 931-202-9870. 931-202-9870. Questions for Crystal and I, text it in. And we're going to do our best to address as many as we can without leaving our kids workers in kids purgatory tonight. Okay? So, questions, parenting and finances. We'll start with the parenting questions. Guys, we can go ahead and throw those up. Those parenting questions. So let's just start with those. And folks around the tables that your kids are grown, you got to talk. Don't sit there tight-lipped. You have got to help all of us folks who are raising kids right now. So let's lean in. Let's discuss. Okay, so question number one. You ready? You ready? Everybody good? All right, here we go. Question number one that came in. How long have you been married and how do each of you work to stay in love? How long have you been married and how do you work to stay in love? You want to go? You want me to go? Huh? You want to go? Huh?
We've been married for 20 years.
Yep. 20 years. Date day on Friday. Okay? Date day on Friday. So you call me on Friday, I love you, but I'm out. Okay? I'm with Mama on Friday. Okay? So Friday is date day. And for us at this season in our life, it's lunchtime. Because there's times where there's games or things going on with kids or school stuff on a Friday night. So we protect Friday daytime, especially during the school year, because all of our kids, including our little, is in preschool. They're all in school. So that's kind of our day, right? In our time. Yep. We try to be intentional at night to talk after the kids go to bed.
If he's not asleep.
Doesn't always happen. Because sometimes it's 10, 10:30, you know. I guess the rest of you parents are real good about putting little kids to bed. Like ours don't ever want to go. Can I get a witness on that? You know. They don't ever want to go, so we're battling that sucker till about 10 at
they
least.
They sometimes go to bed. You just fall asleep real quick after.
Hey, how many after 8 o'clock guys have I got in the room that you're pumpkin after 8 o'clock? Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Well, Derek does like to get up really early, so it's okay.
Yeah, so I do have to work on that. Serious business. So we have to be real intentional. We've also added like a once a year trip now. We've just added that. Kaysen's just to the place, and that's been a journey for us with his special need. Obviously, wasn't something where you just leave him with family until, you know, and just dump him on our parents or whatever. I mean, you got to work through that, and everybody's got to be in that game. But he's mature enough now, right, to where we can go away. So once a year now, in the summertime, we try to get away now, just her and I. And our parents, that's where we're blessed. Some of you may not have that resource. So, you know, try to find another military couple or another couple here in the church, maybe who will watch your kids for you for a couple of days, even if it's just a couple of days, to go up to the lake and get away, just the two of you. That's super important, if you can pull that off, right? So, that's how we work to stay in love. We kiss a lot. Yep. Yeah.
What? He really grosses our boys out.
I love it. I love kissing her right on the mouth in front of those boys. It's so great. It's so great. It's wonderful. So, okay, next question. Should you tithe 10, should it be 10% of your net or your gross income? So good question. Gross income, right, minus taxes is your net. And so don't get legalistic in it. You know, I will say that. And so, you know, we started tithing on the gross, right? I'm going to give before the government gets it. You know what I'm saying? So that's just been our principle. But there's no legalism in this. Just get started, right? Just get started and watch God grow it. And now we've grown to the place where we give a lot more than 10%. I'm not saying that to impress anybody. You just need to know. By the way, we would never ask you to give something we ain't giving to. Come on, church. What in the world, man? Preachers who don't invest in building campaign and tithing and all those things they're asking all the church to do ought to be fired. Wow, you say that's a hard statement. Well, I'm a preacher. I can say that because I live in that world. I can just say it hard because that's the way it is. That's the way I really think about it. That's ridiculous. But there's more out there that do that than you realize. Doesn't mean we're heroes. That's just one area. I'll just be real with you. So now we're going to give, man. We give every week our tithe, and we give every week to our all-in campaign because we believe in it. So, yep.
I just wanted to share a little bit about tithing, too. I remember a long time ago, a lady asked Derek and she said, "I can't afford to tithe. What should I do?" And she was just being honest. And we looked at her, and of course we understand, but the bottom line is we can't afford not to tithe. Whether it just be a little bitty bit, it's just a start, because God will honor that. After we had Anderson, I think, we had a doctor's bill unexpectedly came in, and we had just paid some other doctor's bill, and it was kind of tight, and it was hard, and I was like, "Oh, Lord, where are we going to get this money?" And I went to the washing machine. And I had washed Anderson's diaper bag, and I lifted the washing machine. I was like, "Oh, my goodness, where did this money?" There was like $20 bills all in the washing machine. We do not have any idea where that came from, except from our Lord God Almighty. And so he said, "Well, did somebody give you money?" I said, "No, nobody gave me money." He said, "Well, they didn't give me money." So it was just from the Lord, and it was the exact amount of money that we needed to cover that bill. So God is so faithful when you give, and you can always just start little, and He will help you grow. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and too, as a family, Crystal was a great kindergarten teacher. That's what she did before we started having kids. And we had Reagan, and Mama was going to go back to work. Well, she was pregnant with Dawson within 6 months. I meet up with her. Okay, I meet up with her. So, you know, so she's pregnant with Dawson within 6 months. And
5 months.
Was it 5 months? Okay, five. And so we talked together, and she decided to stay home. That wasn't something like, you know, we're trying to be like preacher and this perfect, you know, preacher and preacher's wife and this, like, you know, a picture or whatever, you know, this perfect picture. We didn't have any problem with her working, but she just said, I want to stay home with the kids. I really feel like God would have me to do that. And the only reason I tell you that is that's when we were working in student ministry back at our home church and just, you know, not getting paid anything, right? But it was our calling, and we were fired up about doing ministry. We did it. But we said, hey, we're going to keep tithing. We never quit tithing through all that process, and God honored that. We've seen God honor that.
I can remember being a teenager, and we both worked at a local restaurant. And when I would come home, my mom would say, how much did you make? You know, $80 or whatever. Okay, put your tithe right here. And, like, she wouldn't even let me walk past her without dropping my tithe for the next Sunday. Okay, Mom, here's my tithe. But that taught me early the importance, and that's what she was wanting to instill. Of course, I got the picture and started doing it on my own. But what a great treasure that she wanted to instill in me, that you do that first. And mm-hmm. So whenever we got married and Derek said, tithe is first, I was already, had already been used to practicing that. And so I said, absolutely, I agree.
All right, next question. Let's see here if I can get it to pull up. Okay, as a parent, when your schedule gets full, what are some tools you use to determine if you need to cut out activities? So full schedules. How many families with full schedules have we got in the room right here? Very full schedules. Yes, that's us big time. So you got thoughts on that before I give thoughts on that? Can y'all tell, like, we have busy schedules and, like, cutting out activities is a hard one for us?
It's hard. Ooh-wee, it's hard. I did buy a calendar where I can write, and I bought different color markers where I can write what each child has every day, because it's really not our schedule, it's really their schedules. But we did pray, even before we had Reagan, that our children would be active and that they would want to be around kids and they would want to be involved stuff. So our busy schedule is really our fault, because that's what we prayed for. but we do want them to be involved and to learn the life lessons of being a part of a team, being a leader. So it has been very difficult, but I do write out the calendar of the week. We do have family time, try to, every Sunday, and discuss what our schedule is. So I write it out. I do try to cook early. So, like, if Reagan has a ball game at 4 o'clock, I'm cooking dinner at 2 o'clock. And then I pack up all our dinner so we save time and not having to go out to eat, save money. It's a home-cooked meal. We're usually eating in the gym. But I take a snack bag and I take water. So it's only for a season. And then they're going to be gone. And then I'm going to not know what to do with myself. So
the Sunday night family meeting, that's something that is a staple for us now, especially during the school year. I mean, we have to manage it week to week. Now, vacations and stuff, now we'll plan out, like, family vacation times and things around church rhythm schedule. We will plan next summer's vacation this August. So family time is that's the big rock that's got to go in the bucket first, right? So we do those type of things. Friday, date day, Sunday night, family time, looking over the week, times where in a week, there's usually one day a week where everybody's going to be home at supper time. So we see that and we say, hey, no phones, no nothing, no friends. That's the night. So that's the deal. That's also another reason why we just moved. We moved from our neighborhood, loved our neighbors, but we're not home a lot. So when we are home, we don't want to entertain other people's kids. I'm just getting real with you tonight. So you don't want to reach your neighbors for Jesus? Well, yeah, I want to reach my neighbors for Jesus. But gosh, I want to see my family like one day out of the week. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're on the go. And so we're learning and we're teaching our kids. We're witness for Christ in this. Can you be too busy? Yeah, there's probably some of that. We may be a little too busy. But let me tell you what had to change the tools. You ready to cut out activities? We see now this is this is probably just opinion for us. Okay. We see a lot of parents along the way have come along with parents along the way who tell their kids, you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, so that they can, hello guys, play golf, go hunt and go fishing and do their thing. Come on, man. The stuff that needs to get cut out, like in our life, I used to bass fish, man, I loved it. I'm redneck like that. I just, man, I'm a bass fish up in here, man. Just having fun. I don't do that anymore. I did it on Friday of Father's Day. She let me go with one of our church members, and we went and bass fished for the first time in a year and a half. Is it good to have hobbies? Yes, but we're in a season of life where that's got to fit around. Kids, church, that's our life right now. And that's just the way it is. That's our calling. That's what matters. So we sacrifice other stuff. The one thing, two things we have not sacrificed, right? Friday date day. So every now and then that gets interrupted, but Friday date day is our time. We've got a standing appointment on Friday. Hey, can I see you on Friday? Got an appointment. Done deal. So the Friday date day is a big part of that, right? And what else was I going
to
say?
We go to the gym.
Gym. physical fitness. We're not giving that up. It's not happening. Because incredible stress relief, obviously physically, we're blowing and going. So our kids are blowing and going. So we're going to be in shape. That's just the way it is.
You got to keep up.
Got to keep up. And it puts a lot of positive stuff in your body. If you're not working out, now some of you may have jobs, especially the guys with a lot of physical labor, then hey, you know what you got there. But if you got a desk job, I'm just telling you, the fitness piece of that is huge for Crystal and I. Big deal. Big deal for Mama. We invest in that. And so that she can have that release and another point of community there. And it's turned into a ministry point because we've had people come to church through that. So those are things that we're not going to give up date day. We're not going to give up physical fitness. But parents, listen to me. Everything else we've given up, they're arrows in the hand of the warrior, man. I want my kids to be successful and I want the church to rock and roll. I want you to get God's stuff in your life. So we're going to sell out to that. And, I'll fish when they're gone. You know what I'm saying? We'll figure that out. Or we'll mix it in somewhere. And throughout the year, there are times where it gets mixed in. Seasons you see on your calendar. So now for us, with athletes in our home, the dead period. How many of you track dead period for parents that's got athletes? Right now is a dead period. Week before and week after July the 4th. So now moving forward, we're going to begin to live in that. So dead period is dead period at the Smith House. Like that's becoming a thing. So we see that rhythm months out, and we go ahead and tell our kids, we're going on a vacation here, or we're going to do this thing here, or we're shutting this down, and phones up, check out, focus time together. Okay? We keep going?
I refreshed it.
Refreshed it.
There is another question.
Okay, hold on just a minute. I'm going to hit the load all thing there. All right, give us a minute. All right, here we go. We're going to, what are we doing here? Okay. Hold on. 726. Let's look at this one right here. I had a question about gambling. Somebody sent in on finances. Is gambling a sin? Yes. Okay. We can move. Y'all okay? By the way, now, and pulling the legalism out of it. Why does God say to not do that? Well, it's not a wise investment of your money. Now, you can argue, well, there's other things we invest in that's not wise either. I just can't do it. I'm just going to be honest with you. Based on what I see in God's Word, I can't do it. If you can do it, it's your conscience before God. But my advice to you and counsel, based on what I know of God's Word, is stay away from gambling. You get in a mess. Okay? How do you invest your money wisely? That's a good question. So I would encourage you to find a financial planner. We can help you do that. There are folks who, even in our church, we've got Christian folks that love God and tithe first and all that. So come see us after if you need some help with that. We'll get you connected with some really good financial planners. But, and they can give you direction on market and where to invest and all that kind of thing. But tithe first and general retirement account through your work, start there. Right? You say, that's really simple. Well, hey, so many people don't do that. Just start right there. And then begin to think about your kids after that is our advice to you. We're family first. Right? And you flow from there.
There's only two more, that one.
Okay. How do you implement what we've learned? What's the first step? First step for implementing what we've learned. What do you think? What advice you got there? You got some advice on that? Huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk and pray together. And parenting is hard in our house, and it's really hard when Derek's at work because I have all the children by myself in the summer. Woo, four boys is a lot. But we have talked and tried to come up with plans and schedules that will help. Another reason why we wanted to move out of the neighborhood was just so the boys could have a little more space. And I get really excited when they don't listen, and my noise level will start going up. But we've talked, and Derek will give me advice. And wives, I think that's important to listen. And husbands, I think it's because we complement each other. He can see where I struggle, and I can see where he struggles, and we can help each other. And this week, I really tried hard. We have one of our boys who's just like me, so we butt heads a lot. But I really tried hard this week and last week to just take a deep breath and to just kind of relax and not let my voice level get up, to remain calm. And he's been so much better. So I'm thankful that he's helped me and given me advice, which he's given me that advice for a while, but I'm really just now trying to let it sink in. But so you definitely need to talk. These are great tools to help us. And I want to implement that because I don't want it to be too late before they're gone. And then he doesn't want to talk to me. So.
Well, you give me a lot of really great advice, too. So don't hear me like, oh, my gosh, Pastor, is bossing Chris around all
day. No, I
promise you. No, this is give and take.
I couldn't do it without him because we have five children.
Absolutely. So together, I think the point being there, how do you implement what we've learned? Start with your marriage and get together. Spend eye-to-eye, face-to-face conversation time together. Just start there. Pray together. Talk together. And everything will flow out of that, right? Get out of our phones. We pick on our kids. Adults, right? We have just as much trouble with phones or Netflix or Hulu or Prime Video or TV or the ball game or the stuff. I mean, we have just as much trouble with all the electronics today. And so we've got to put the phones up and then we've got to engage and talk and pray. And from there, everything else will flow. So that's our encouragement to you. Start in conversation one-on-one. If you hadn't been on a date in a while, you got to go on a date. Now, that's your homework. Go on a date. If you hadn't been on an away trip, if you can make that happen, make it happen soon. If you can't, then, hey, I get it. I had grandparents growing up that lived on a farm, and I don't know, they never went on a vacation. And they loved the fire out of each other all the time. We're happy as little old larks. A lot different day then, wasn't it? But a lot to learn there. But I still would say, if you can get some time away in today's crazy world, it is good. If it's just a night or two, get away together. Find a way to do that. But just, start right here, and everything will flow out of that, and then stay in the church. You got to stay here. There's no shame in this game. When you come in here, we're all busted up. If your marriage is, if you had a cruddy week, come to church. That's why we have, the body, the gathering, is to worship God. Why do we put a smile on and worship on Sunday? We talk about this as a staff often, especially those of us that's going to be on the platform. Why do we put a smile on and we sing? We're not faking it. It's not fake. What we're saying is God's bigger than our stuff today. He's worthy of our worship. We're going to put a smile on our face and we're going to sing because God is worthy. It's not because we don't have junk. It's because we do have stuff. And we're here to praise Him. So stay in the church. Don't let shame or condemnation or the devil put stuff in your heart and your mind and make you think, oh, man, I don't want anybody to know about that. Well, you know, guys, find another guy here at church, another Christian guy that you can talk to one-on-one about that stuff you go through. Ladies, find another lady that you can talk to directly and get that encouragement. So is that the last question right here?
Thanks.
A great one to end on. Where? Okay. Mature daughter dating a guy who's unrealistic about bringing home the bacon. Oh, that's Good question. How do you handle that? She's dating a guy and he ain't bringing home the bacon. Well, go tell him to get some bacon. You know, you're out. Bring some bacon home up in it. Now, hey. I get it. Those are struggles. Mature daughter, so you're talking about grown person, you know, pray. What we talk about tonight, can't control the outcomes, it's the inputs. You're in a whole, whoever sent that, you're in a whole new world now, right? You don't, boundaries and control, you know, don't work past, and they don't work for some two-year-olds, you know what I'm saying? Some are strong-willed and you got to figure it out early, but, right? But mature, man, you're a counselor now. You're an encourager. You're still a teacher. You can offer some counsel. You pray for them. But the harder you push on a mature person like that, a grown adult, saying you're going to do this and that, that's not going to work. Yeah. Right? We all deal with that. So great question for real stuff to deal with. Our encouragement to you would be pray for them. And offer some counsel, here's some thoughts, but then you just got to walk with them in love and let them make the decision they're going to make, right? So
I was just going to share a verse. I actually had someone close to me that went through similar situation, different circumstance, but the young man was just, he did not love the Lord. He was very disrespectful. Anyways, the parents did not like him and did not obviously want their daughter to marry him. And so the mother went to Isaiah 49:17, where it talks about the destroyers of your life will be removed. And she prayed faithfully that verse. And I know that she fasted and prayed for her daughter. And it wasn't, I don't remember the time frame, but it wasn't that long after that she had been praying faithfully and fasting. I mean, I'm sure she offered up some counsel, but mainly praying and fasting, that the daughter called and said, well, we just broke up. And of course, you know, the mom was like, yes, but didn't say that in front of her. But, you know, let me know that. And we were just praising the Lord because it was answered a prayer. And honestly, I don't really even know that she had a reason for them breaking up, except we knew it was a God thing. Yeah. So that's a very good verse to stand on, Isaiah 49:17. And I had a lady just last week ask me a question similar to this about her own daughter. So I'm going to share this with her.
So, that, you know, does prayer work? Come on, church. Did we say that?
Yes.
God works. So let's just take it to Him and just say, God, you know, you're a way maker. And then put that on repeat on your iTunes, right? He's a way maker, man. And just believe Him for it. And remember, we start early. I mean, with our kids, we'll say this. You know, one of the things we do now is constant conversation about relationships. What kind of person do you want to marry? Well, you know, Dawson's 14. So who are you going to marry? What do you mean, who am I going to marry? Well, what kind of person do you want to marry? And then we walk through it. And I'm like, okay, well, then nobody should be your girlfriend right now. Right? That doesn't fit that bill. Okay, by the way, our parenting, we give our kids a lot more freedom than most, like preachers do. We just do. You mean you let them date before they're 16? Time out. They ain't going nowhere. Okay.
They Hello. Come to our house.
Yeah, dating. They can use whatever term they want to. It's just semantics. But you ain't going nowhere. I mean, it ain't happening. But parents, man, get off the high horse. Can I just be honest? Now, that may sound hard. But our, you know, this is just our world. It's our opinion now, okay? A kid's going to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend whether you tell them they're not going to, whatever. So I'm just letting you know our philosophy, okay? I thought about this last night. God created us sexual beings. Before the fall. Think about that for a minute. How much mess comes through sexual immorality. But God gave us those parts, gave us those desires, did all that because there's also a lot of joy when you do it, when you wait on God's timing and within His boundaries of one man, one woman for one lifetime in marriage. So we go that route with our kids. Say, man, this is a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. But, you know, hey, so what does it mean? Guys, you got to respect the girls. She ain't yours. Her stuff ain't yours. Keep your hands to yourself. Treat her with respect. It's my girlfriend. Okay, well, tell me about her. What, you know, where does she go to church? Does she love God? I mean, does she challenge you in your faith? I mean, could she be a good mother one day? I'm 14. Okay, you're going to be 40. Bless God. So we just lean into it. That's just our philosophy. Others of you in here may disagree with us on that. And that's okay. We're all and you know, we may get to heaven and say, oh, well, that way we mess that one up. But that's the way we are. We give a little more freedom there to, quote unquote, have a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you know, when they're in middle school, high school, and just say, well, what does that mean? And how do we walk through that? How should you handle that? We just believe in leaning into that. Okay.
Well, and so. Also, whenever Reagan's boyfriend comes over, who's a sweet young man, she has four brothers, and they have to be around her four brothers. So if he can stand her brothers, oh, no, he can stay hang out. But the other day, she wanted him to come over, and the boys were gone, so it was just me and Kason. And I said, that's fine, but you're going to have to hang out with Mom. The boys aren't here, and you'll be in here with Mom, and you didn't fold socks today. So guess what? Trey can come on over, but you and him are going to fold some socks. And he did. And they hung out with
socks.
Mom. So.
Train that sucker early to bring home some bacon. You know what I'm talking about? You better man up. I don't care if you're 15 or not.
Sometimes it's a good testing ground.
Listen,
you know?
You're going to be a goober. You know, listen, I'll handle that right now. So
they stayed in the living room, hung out with me the whole time.
Yeah, so, you know, we try to find the balance, right? We're not letting them go out by themselves for hours on end. But we're, you know, we're trying to get in this without just meddling and completely, you know, we're trying to find that balance too without just meddling right in the middle of their stuff. But at the same time, walking through this, what's this look like? What's the right way to do this? Groups, you know, you parents that's got grown kids, y'all could help us a lot on this, but that's our thing going forward. Reagan starts driving in July. So our thing is anytime you want to go in groups of multiple people that we know, you're in. It's good. You got a curfew, obviously, to be home by at a reasonable time. But if you're in groups, it's good. If you want to go out, you know, you and the boyfriend, no way. Love you, but like hours on end, like, you know, that's not healthy. Right? Vodi Bakum said dating is divorce practice. I thought that's a great, you know, in the way we think about it in our culture. Again, we can take semantics and spin it however we want to. But the point being what I'm talking about there, hours on end, alone, away. Well, no wonder they're getting it. Hello. No wonder they're getting it on. Kids getting it on. Men are out here for hours on end. Over-sexualized society, we're putting them out here for hours on end by themselves. Just go in groups. And by the way, can you get to know someone of the opposite sex in a group? Absolutely. And you'll have a ton more fun because you're not playing the dating game like I got to entertain you for the next 5 hours. You'll have a ton more fun because your girlfriends are there and you got other people and you're all laughing and cutting up and you're doing life and you get to know each other. Just, man, don't be weird. You know, don't be like, oh my gosh, he's so amazing. No, he's not. He's a gooper. And, you know.
That's what I said about you.
Watch it. Watch it. Listen, I got the blessing on that, the donut, right? Hot and holy.
I think it's good to have fun with your spouse. I mean, Derek and I could cry every day because the children drive us nuts. But, but you know, we don't. We just sit there and laugh. Like last night, Harrison and Anderson were chasing a kitty that somebody dropped off. And I was just sitting there like, Lord Jesus, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm just going to sit here and laugh and say, okay, go catch that wild kitty and we'll figure this out.
So they're chasing a feral cat in the woods. A feral kitten. They're like chasing this sucker in the woods. They're coming back. Damn, I got it. He bit me. I'm scratched up.
Harrison came back. I got it. I got it.
He's holding that thing like a possum, you know, like hanging there. And we're just, you know, we're just laughing, man, having a big time, you know. What are we going to do with it? Oh, y'all go to bed. I'm going to pitch it right back out in the woods. That sucker's going to run off. Oh, I'm sorry. That's so inhumane. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
We
saved that cat and we fed it this morning. I fed it, okay, so don't do that.
Yeah, and then Harrison took it out and let it down and it ran back off. So
it ran in the woods. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that sucker ran off.
Gosh.
Oh, a cat. Oh, I don't want no cats. All right. Hey, we love you and appreciate you. Kids team's officially in kid purgatory. So we gotta gong the bell. Has this been helpful for you? Have you enjoyed this series? Okay, give it up, man, for the Lord. Let's just thank God for what he's doing.